Welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use them pronouns.
You're not introducing this episode any differently than that? Okay.
Nope.
hey, my name's Adam. I've been playing these last 200 episodes as Vons, and recently Vons, and comma, cool. Those are our free little fox folk buddies, and we all use the he hims.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps now. I used to play Aerosene. Jesse and I use they, she pronouns. Aerosene used to use she, her pronouns, and
still does.
Yes. Wherever she's at.
Past tense.
She's still a weird little femme.
My gender will only change after I die.
Oh my god. Incredible.
A lot of layers of that.
Necro-transgenderism.
Just all disembodied, like, you know, whatever goes, it's fine.
That's some Lictor-ass behavior there.
Lictor, I barely knew her.
Yeah, I know, right? I think you mean him.
Mm.
Sorry, Kelly.
I'm Kelly. I play Wesley Taylor, also Weldroa, for the past 200 episodes. And I, we both use, well, Wesley and I use she, her pronouns. Weldroa uses whatever pronouns you want to throw at him because, you know, what the fuck. And happy to be here.
It sounded very sincere.
And I'm Wint. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold illusionist, non-illusionist, pilot, college student. We all use he-him pronouns.
As you may have guessed from Adam's protest and the unique energy that has been brought to this intro, it is not, in fact, a standard episode today.
We're not
it
even
is our
playing
200th
your
episode. I mean, you might be. I don't want to tell you how to answer questions. But yeah, so it's our 200th episode, so we have a couple of letters we're going to read, and then some of them have questions that we'll answer. And then I believe there are additional questions. So it'll be an adventure for everyone.
Yeah.
All right. Once I remember how to read anything. Okay. First up, we have a message from Mark from February. I don't think I remembered to read on this show.
February's not that long ago.
I like that attitude because it absolves me of much responsibility.
Not true.
I wish it were true.
That's an entire calendar quarter ago.
What do you mean? We're recording this episode in March.
Yeah, that's why my window's open.
Kelly just likes it cool. Brisk while recording. But all right. So, to the gang. Subject line, what's up? Hello, longtime listener, occasional rat sender. Heading up to your 200th episode, so I figured I better send a rat. It's been great seeing everything come back around and all the different adventures tie back into each other. I am always about 2 weeks behind, so the gang is just back to the arcs and begun getting into trouble. Personally, I am just about ready to go back and do a re-listen and take notes so I can create maps from the details and pester Ian about contradictions in those details. Listen. Anyway, of course, now I have to start on maps for the surface world too. Eagerly awaiting what will happen next. Mark 17.
Thank you.
Thanks, yeah, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark indeed made us a map, which will ideally be on the website by the time this episode comes out, because it's pretty. And Mark did, in fact, pester me about details for the neighborhoods, which means I had to finally concretely decide which neighborhoods connect to which directly. So the interior of the arcs is less a massive plot spaghetti than it used to be, which is a good thing, to be clear. But yeah. So did you guys keep getting into trouble after getting back on the arcs, or like, were you good?
I mean, like, I feel like every time that we've come back to the arcs, we've gotten into some version of a worse situation than we were in before we left. So yeah.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how the management around here tolerates us. Okay, some of us are fine.
Well, they made Grix a manager, so Oh, yeah. I feel like the tolerance is very weird.
I tolerate us just fine.
They're loose cannons, but they get results sometimes.
They're right. Really, really going to be scared the day we come into their office and throw down our badge and gun.
Especially because they'll be like, what the fuck is that?
Exactly.
We stole it from the one person who knows how to use it. They're probably very mad right now.
And what do badges even mean? We totally don't use a badge system here. It's all
some people do.
Oh, do people use badge systems?
I think we've mentioned the Department of Investigations and the ARC's Intelligence Division both using badges at various points. Is that because I'm probably slightly lazy about world building? Yeah, maybe. Although badges would be pretty easy to melt down and reuse. So there's that. I mean, it's all planned. Like Mark said, that's why everything comes back together. Careful planning. Day one. All right. Next up, we have a note from Lisa, also known as my mom.
Hi, Ian's mom.
Hi, Ian's mom.
Nap, totally calling her Lisa now.
It's your prerogative. The email address includes the first name, so I figure it's okay. And all right, to all of you, subject line, what's up? That might just be our default subject line now that I'm thinking about it. All right, anyway, just in time for your 200th episode, I wanted to let you know how much I enjoy your podcast. I often share my comments with the Castle Keeper, but this is my first rat. I always look forward to Wednesdays or Thursdays, whenever the new episodes post. Smiley face. I really enjoy your humor. I think wits, jokes, / puns are funny, even when the rest of you aren't too sure. Oh. And the Grixen are great. Surprisingly foolhardy sometimes, but great.
Thanks. Okay, just interjecting. I'm not always sure why they're funny. Often that pause that you hear me doing after a wit pun is just me trying to calculate the pun. They can be complex, okay? Okay, they're a little above my little head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, same. And I'm married to him, so.
Some of Wit's jokes are about things I don't know about enough that the podcast qualifies as educational. So,
oh, good. She feels the same way.
Listen to us. No, that was me. That was Ian's commentary.
Oh.
My mom knows a lot more history than I do, so she would actually get more of them.
Do I make history jokes mostly? I'm trying to think of which ones now.
I feel like you mostly jokes about...
movies no one's seen.
Media properties that other people may or may not have consumed.
A lot of them occupy the space where history and pop culture collide.
Thank you, Adam, for saving my probable inaccuracy. Anyway, all right, continuing on. Thanks to the Castle Keeper for parentheses maybe and parentheses not killing off Wealthy. I have a feeling her epitaph in the far distant future, I hope, will be, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, she's not fully killed off.
Maybe her ideas aren't always good, but they do make things interesting.
Yep.
I was sorry Aracene was murdered by her horrid grandmother, but I've enjoyed Jesse's character a lot. Definitely. Quote, and now for something completely different, end quote. I don't want to leave out the Vonzes. Vonzai? Cool Vons has surprised me with how differently he responds to situations compared to original recipe Vons. I enjoy them both. Thanks to you all for making the podcast so much fun to listen to. P.S. I've given Bartholomew a nice piece of aged white cheddar from Orkney. I hope he likes it.
Aw.
I'm sure he will.
That's nice. Thank you.
I haven't heard Bartholomew directly rank his favorite cheeses.
That's because you can actually talk to him now and he thinks it's weird.
Yeah.
He's gotten real quiet. He used to squeak a lot. Now he knows that we know when he's squeaking.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you aren't wearing that amulet, he might be slightly more talkative.
One of these days I'll learn some JavaScript and we can get him squeaking.
That's what every website needs to bring back. Embedded audio. Have a little background tune like our Zonga in 2003. All right. And
we
then
this MySpace, yeah.
Pour one out. All right. And then our last letter for today is from Karin. Hi, Karin.
Hi, Karin.
Hi, Karin.
Subject line 200th episode. And so we have questions, so we will stop at each one as we go. Hello, Primary Attribute. Congratulations on your 200th episode. It's quite an accomplishment and it represents a lot of dedication and hard work. A lot has happened, and I'm curious. What are each of your favorite moments of the show? So all of you just think back to 200 episodes.
I still genuinely love the lockdown episodes for how like incredibly chaotic everything was in those episodes, because that's the episodes where like we played truth or dare. Aracene accidentally harassed Wealthy into telling her that she's in love with her.
Like you do.
Also, the episode where I think Aracene slept with Photios for the first time. And, you know, I love a good love story. Yeah, I really liked those episodes. They were just like really a lot and really fun and plot relevant.
Yeah.
Speaking of plot relevant, I genuinely loved playing and acting.
That was a great episode. That's
plot that is relevant terrific. Child lives in my heart forever.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was a lot of fun.
I really like the period that was like combo slice of life and investigation. Like, you know, half the time just hanging out and doing stuff and trying to chase down leads and meet new people and kind of exploring the arcs. So like some of the every time that, you know, Nara was around or off screen and we were plotting against her in our completely ineffectual way or largely ineffectual way. All that stuff.
Yeah. Yes, I miss doing that stuff. It was fun. Doesn't really fit at the moment, but it was fun.
No. It's one of those things of power ramping.
Yeah.
And like urgency and emergency. Like we were talking a little bit about Buffy before the show started and how like, you know, there was more chill time in the early seasons versus later seasons where everything's dire. But that's how stories progress. So.
Yeah. It's only a thing of a mainline episode, but my favorite moment as a GM is still telling Wealthy she wakes up in a metal box.
Yeah, that's hard.
Oh, man.
really hard the to best.
Sam, you stole mine.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised by that at all. Kelly brings that up all the time.
I just love that sequence. I love the way you guys did it. I always laugh at the way I reacted to it. I was just so fucked. But that's kind of the thing I like about it. When you ask what do I like? I like my reaction to a lot of the things that I've done, or been actions I've been presented with, like herring off to because the Asatan's demon told me, well, why don't you know, you're using your halfling to not go off on an adventure. And I said, well, fuck you, I'll go off on an adventure. And then I didn't really think about it beyond, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And then, you know, I end up doing something that changes everything for my character. And I've done that several times. And
You're just so you're so goadable is the thing.
but to be fair, going through that portal in my dream, I was told I felt there was nothing wrong with the whole concept. So
surely nothing in your noggin would mess with your head in any way.
No. But yeah.
Adam?
Oh well, as far as like all time goes, I mean, yeah, that Halloween episode's up there. The episode we did with Mikey Newman, that was...
Yeah, I definitely should mention that.
Yeah, that's left.
But I think of... Wait, the last 100 episodes? Actually, he was probably in the last 100 episodes, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. I suppose as far as my own characters go, the watching and having the opportunity to play Vons from the same the same DNA, just with different traumas.
I gotta say, it has been really, really so interesting to see the ways that Cool Vons and Original Vons are the same and different. You're doing such a good job of like differentiating them, but also like they are, they do come from the same DNA. It's very clear.
Yeah, you're doing much better at that than, I mean, I haven't really delved into like the differences between Grix and Steamboat.
Maybe because there's not the same level of trauma as Vaughn.
Well, and I don't think for a second that I'm doing it any better or worse than you are.
I don't mean I'm doing it. I mean, just you're doing it. You're more intentional and actually delving into it.
There's built into Vaughn's a lot of direction to take it.
Vaughn can go a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun to explore.
It's been very fun to watch. Well, listen to. Other moment I really liked, I don't know if it's actually my top, but it's what I can think of, was getting Wealthy back from the Green Day universe into, you know, the main universe, and then everyone going, hey, why don't we go rescue the other people too?
Yeah, the fact that Grix was like, oh no, we have to help them. And didn't really think about the fact that that would mean that he would be playing two characters now.
Actually, I assumed that Ian would just play the second one.
Uh-huh. That's kind of what I meant.
But once I realized that that wasn't the case, I still didn't want to stop it because it didn't feel like what Grix would do.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, what am I doing? This okay.
Yeah, I was really glad that I had not met up with Wealthy and Wealthy wasn't there and that we didn't have to deal with that.
Oh god. Yeah, I think that you would not have enjoyed playing two characters for even like a little bit of time.
I think we should bring Erisine over.
I mean Erisine's happy in college.
But would she be happier in Wizard College?
I actually don't think she would.
She could have Wealthy.
She'll be able to have Wealthy in a couple of years anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have to believe that.
I don't know. I kind of do, actually.
Good balance of optimism and pessimism on the show. It was also fun trying to figure out how to bring two plot lines together. Been like you both are doing a climactic scene now at the same time.
I'm also going to be honest with you. I don't really want an Erisine to interact very much with this Wealthy anymore because it's clearly incredibly traumatic. And like, I like Wealthy and I like it when she's not flipping the fuck out all the time.
Yeah.
And I know that is exactly what would happen for like months. Like it would not be like a fun, like, oh, look, they're going to get together kind of a thing. It would be like, oh, Erisine is like accidentally like triggering all of Wealthy's trauma all the time. And I just don't want that to become the narrative of Wealthy. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I can see what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was traumatic enough that Wealthy talked to Erisine on the phone one time.
Yeah.
Did I talk to you?
You talked to non-fantasy world Erisine on the phone in the car when you woke up. And
I thought I didn't want to talk to her because...
No, you did end up talking to her.
Okay.
I don't remember if you wanted to, but
for a brief time. And then we're like, I don't want to do that again. And I was like, great, okay, fine. No, that's fine. I'm totally fine with that. Because it just, I was like, oh, okay. Makes sense.
Well, I got to tell you, Wealthy is more me than anybody else.
Uh-huh.
I'm just playing myself in the
Kelly, we're all aware of that.
But all right. Let's go on to question two. Ian, as Castle Keeper, I'm sure you have had plans to reveal information in certain ways, only to have to change course. What are some funny, ridiculous, and or frustrating situations where you had to figure out a different way to introduce information because your players didn't want to complete what they viewed as a side quest? I feel the need to ponder this because I know it's happened. But I also, like, assume it's going to happen.
Yeah, we've abandoned so many side quests.
I mean,
the volcano on the island, and the people there, the tunnel in the valley, where the light was, I couldn't figure that out. I didn't have time to figure it out. But it feels like, well, we may end up back in the valley anyway, so.
Yeah. There was a time when you guys were on the surface and you stumbled across them. One of you literally fell into an old temple where there was some information at the end that would, like, have helped you with your research. And then you guys left, like, three rooms before the end.
We're terrified of plot.
Well, we were in the middle of something.
And Grix had gotten his brain scooped out.
Yeah. Kind of.
And recovered, but, you know, it wasn't going great. So, yeah, it was just funny. So I was like, well, time to figure out another, not quite MacGuffin, but, you know, another place that could unlock this info.
Yeah, that's fair. It did feel like that was going to be relevant in some way, but, like, I feel like even Aerisane, like, couldn't justify, I feel like after Grix got his brain scooped out, like, Aerisane absolutely could not have justified, like, staying and, like, trying to continue that, because Grix was just, like, in such a bad way.
Yeah. No, it was an extremely reasonable move. Yes, I'm a little sad you guys didn't go into the tunnels under the desert, but...
You made it seem like we would die immediately.
Yeah.
You made it seem impossible.
Basically, there was some cool stuff down there, but also, like...
I'm sure there was.
I didn't lock any information back there that you guys hard require, so...
Good.
Shrug. Yeah, I know. That was meant to be this could be cool. You probably
I wanted to go down there, and I kept, like, pushing for that,
and then your fucking NPC kept being like, no, we never go down there. It's dangerous as fuck.
Different cultures have different, different rules about certain things. And, you know, it's never ended badly when some outsider comes in and the people are like, that's the forbidden area. We don't go there. And the outsider's like, it looks fine. It walks in.
Yeah, pretty much.
That particular NPC had some trauma, too, so that's fun.
Yeah, which we didn't find out about until we, like, left that area.
Nope. Yeah, no, I'm not saying you guys should have psychically known. I'm saying there's some fun information down there, but it's not at all essential. It was, in fact.
Fine, we'll go there next.
Okay.
We're going to end.
After the rest of your to-do list?
Yeah, nope.
High-level zone. All right, next up, Adam and Wit. Tell us something about your Green Day Universe characters that no one knows yet. Also, who do each of you have more fun playing? Original recipe or alternate universe?
Okay. All right. Something that nobody knows.
I bet Karin would appreciate knowing how much dead air this generates while we think about it.
Yeah. No, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
This is where you find out Steamboat Billy is a Pepsi stan. That increasingly rare beast.
I think it might be worth pointing out that Vaughn's comic Cool has his personality is kind of starting to find discomfort with the comforts of his old home, and in that I don't necessarily mean his family. He was always kind of fine being a little lonely from his family, but Skittles and processed foods and just like all of the things that used to really bother him, like the because he and Vaughn's are cut from the same cloth, and like that they both get kind of mad at commercialism and such. But Vaughn's Cool is starting to feel a little bit of shame and self-disappointment in that he's grown to kind of miss these things.
Interesting.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
both of these characters have their own little self-contradictions.
Uh-huh. And which of your two children is your favorite?
Oh, between the two of them?
To play.
Well, honestly, playing Original Recipe Vons is still... I still find that very energizing and entertaining because... Well, especially, like, I've learned that in comedy, the funny thing to say is always the wrong thing to say. And he's always got the wrong thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Worst of all, it's what he thinks is actually the, like, he thinks he's doing the right thing. All villains think they're heroes.
Interesting that you put it that way, my dude.
He's always trying to be a hero. He just doesn't know what the fuck a hero is.
Yeah. What year is it back in?
2005 was when they met.
Yeah,
five. Okay, perfect. Grix.
2005.
Yeah, Grix. Steamboat Willie. Has been making all of his pocket money in college by selling World of Warcraft loot online.
Fucking incredible.
Yeah. It's lucrative. It's lucrative. Yeah.
I like that really does track for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Original Recipe Grix better. And that's kind of probably mostly bias about just the unexpected nature of Green Day Grix being dropped in. Still, even as the player, I'm still a little bit like, who the fuck are you? Why are you here in my house?
Yeah.
Well,
when we generated those characters, we had to do so off of the really quick thinking one Halloween about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, exactly. So. What do we know? I had a van and I like driving.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go from there.
And like that makes perfect sense for a one shot. But if you had been trying to if you had been thinking at all about any of it,
I might have fleshed him out a little differently.
Yeah.
Or like thought about like the differences in personality.
Yeah, but it didn't seem like it was going to matter.
No, it didn't. So it's fine. And no, there's no issue with that whatsoever. It's just.
Yeah. It's, I imagine like me, you had to like decide, okay, well, what are the differences in the world and how do those like nature versus nurture? How does this form in one's character traits and what's going to come out different? And Grix, original Grix, always had sort of a buy-in to the floating semi-utopia of the arcs. Not that that world was absolutely perfect, but it had a balance and everything was set. And Ian created something that would more or less take care of itself if it weren't for the errant factors of what we've gone into recently. And Grix was part of that, part of sustaining that. So a Green Day, the Green Day universe Grix, what would the differences be watching that like form? And yeah, that's I guess he'd have buy into that universe, right? I imagine you went through that process and just built it up from there.
Yeah, totally. I just didn't have like a solid like, here are the distinctions. Here is the, it wasn't as intentional as I would have made it otherwise.
Yeah.
That's fine. Not a problem. It's just.
Yeah. It's fun to, none of this is self-diagnosis, or overly contemplate. Yeah. Unlike Kelly, I do not live in my character.
Well, I don't live in my character. I am my character. Yeah. I'm not really acting. I'm just reacting.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons Kelly's so fun to watch role play. It's immediate. It's reactionary. It's there's not a lot of artifice. When I respond to something, I'm always like taking a beat and thinking, well, okay, how's Vaughn's going to react to this though?
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, speaking of Kelly,
no.
This question on the list is for you.
Oh,
Kelly. Oh, Kelly. Wealthy has managed to lose a leg and now her entire body and is still somehow not dead, open parentheses, by the grace of the CK and also somehow because of her previous insane decision-making, parentheses. What is your plan if she isn't able to reunite with her body? What direction do you want to take while Drawa?
God, I really hope I get my body back. I want to stick with Woldrow, but I really want my body back. I have ideas for where I want Wealthy to go, just based on something that Ian said early on in the relationship. And, I don't want to talk about them because I mentioned it once not long ago and Ian said, well, let's not talk about it so we can see where it goes. And I really believe that that's the best thing to do because I don't know what Ian's plans are. And I have very specific ideas about where I'd like to steer this.
I have such specific plans. I'm not 100% sure what you're talking about.
Where I want my character to go as regarding Sidroa.
Right. Okay. I think it was about whether you're going on the get your body back ride or doing something else. Yeah.
And if, you know, regardless, I think Sidroa and I are going to be stuck together for the rest of the story. I have specific ideas that I thought about once I knew who Sidroa was and what it's capable of doing for Wealthy. So I have specific ideas about where I want the two of them to go.
Cool.
I'm not sure I can get there, but I'm working on it. Although, you know, just, oh God, it was just, I still can't believe I ate Aristide.
But you don't feel guilty about it.
I don't feel guilty about it.
And that's what's important.
I don't feel guilty about it. No, I don't.
God, Kelly, you have no idea how long you went on about that in that episode. When I was editing it, I was just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she's brought it up again. She really did actually happening. Brought it up again, for real.
I don't feel guilty at all.
I both believe you and do not believe you. I'm in like a superposition of them.
Oh God.
I think I'm roughly hanging out there too.
I think that you think that we think that you should feel guilty, and none of us do.
No, I but don't. You, well,
but you really do just keep talking about how much you don't feel guilty. And that is the thing that brings in the questions for us.
I don't know where it comes from. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's all good.
It's just weird.
Oh, we know where it comes from.
Maybe I do feel guilty. I don't know.
What?
You're okay. You're... Jeez.
I'm shocked, Kelly.
I have this vision of Wilsie getting her body back and Sidroa becoming this presence in the back of her mind and her going, oh my God, I hate Aristique!
What?
So
you're proposing that, like, at least some portion of morality is attached to your physical body because I have questions.
No, that some portion is based on, how do I put this? It's based on circumstance that being in Sidroa, being with Sidroa and having essentially the same body and experience as Sidroa, killing Aristique wasn't a problem for Wealthy. Because it didn't feel like anything. I mean, she'd been thinking she wanted the bitch dead anyway. So let's go do it. Let's take care of that problem. And
In a lot of ways, she isn't the one who actually did the thing.
Yeah.
Because it was not her literal body that did it. So right. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she comes back to her body and she goes, oh my God, I did a thing that is just utterly the most heinous thing I've ever, you know, anybody's ever done. I ate the woman and didn't feel bad about it. But I don't think that's, she might have a little meltdown, but I don't know.
Well, if she has a little meltdown, lean away from the mic.
I will. Yeah. I'll get down here and have my meltdown.
Yeah, I think we all said to ourselves when we heard that. Yeah, little meltdown.
Yeah, I don't do. I'm sorry. I just react.
Yeah.
Being emotive is good, especially on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Well, at least for a podcast.
Back to previous commentary.
Yeah. All right. Wrap up Karin's letter. Thank you all for the years of entertainment. It has been a fun ride, and I look forward to continuing this wonderful story. Signed, Karin. The sign doesn't end there. Editorializing. All right. So that's our
letter.
No letters.
Specific question for Jesse.
Apparently not.
Well, I guess I know who her favorites are. Love you, Karin. I mean, Jesse is a much less complicated character overall.
Yes, but we love her.
Jesse? Yes. Mm-hmm. I love Jesse.
Jesse's just a spouse person to both her spouses,
mm-hmm,
and wants to hang out and is hooked up with these completely reckless, foolish people that are trying to do something useful, and she needs to keep them alive.
Jesse is like mega normie in this place that has already like so many changes to like the social order that in any other space she would be absolutely like, she would be like the queer radical friend, and here she's just like, oh no, I mean, yeah, Jesse just has like two spouses and kind of doesn't quite understand which of her kids are biologically related to her for some reason. And yeah, it's great.
When you said mega normie, I was just like, yeah, Jesse just feels a surge to talk about what color to stain the deck, and she doesn't know why.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Jesse in any other universe has a project.
Working on a fucking boat in the garage for 10 years.
Yep.
A concrete canoe.
What's a canoe?
All right. Well, that's the end of our letters. And Whit, did you want to do questions?
Yes, sure.
All right. Whit has questions.
Yeah. Okay. So first, I'm going to go around the group. What do people think? Should I ask the question to each person one at a time, or should I just stick on one person?
I think stick on one person is more the style, because the answers, I think, slightly build on each other in the order that they're usually asked.
I was thinking about when he did the Simpsons cast all together, though.
I'm thinking if we stick to one person, it's going to get real long.
Yeah. I might skip some with some people, depending on. Yeah, I think I'm just going to go through question by question and.
To give some context, Whit is using the Inside the Actors Studio question.
James Lipton tea guy. Mm-hmm.
I just learned on the old Clue board game cards that actually had photos of the characters, James Lipton's wife was Miss Scarlet.
Wow.
Damn.
She's always a hottie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So,
are we answering as our characters?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, Adam, could I speak to Vons, please?
Narrow it down.
Original recipe.
Okay.
What is your favorite word?
Inflammable.
Yes, it has two meanings.
Yeah.
Kelly.
And you never know which.
What would Wealthy's favorite word be?
What would Wealthy's favorite word? Good Lord. Home. She's a halfling after all.
Jesse?
Earth.
Hmm. And Adam? Vons, comma, cool.
Oh, I don't know why I didn't prepare this.
It's gotta be natural. It's gotta flow.
I guess. I'm still learning this guy.
Maybe I'll ask him fewer questions.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know why, but I feel like he'd like the sound of facilitate. It sounds like a fun.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Ian, what is Green's favorite word?
Shit.
Yeah, probably. That probably comes up a lot.
Is that your answer?
No, I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Extinguisher.
I bet Green really likes the word hope.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jesse, what is your least favorite word?
Smoky.
Vaughn's original least favorite word.
Restriction. I don't know why.
Wealthy. Least favorite word.
She doesn't have a least favorite word. She has a least favorite phrase. The bread is trying to kill me.
Okay.
Happens 1.5 times.
Yeah, but it was very traumatic.
And Purity Pearl, what is your least favorite word?
Jesus Christ. So you are going to switch up the characters on me.
Oh, you know it.
I'm also going to do a least favorite phrase. I'm sure it'll sort itself out later.
Vaughn's original. What turns you on? What turns you on?
Vaughn's original. What turns you on?
Not necessarily sexually.
Oh, I know. I'm looking for catalysts.
Catalysts. Okay. Sure. Jesse, what turns you on?
Yes. Sure, what does it for me? Yeah.
Being seen.
God, that's a good answer.
Wealthy, what turns you on?
Books.
Esmeralda, what turns you on?
I think the character hasn't been around for 100 fucking
years. Hey, this is a retrospective. We gotta.
No, that's fair. Nice smile.
Can you remind us who Esmeralda is?
The bartender at
the Gwendolyn.
Yes. Yeah.
Vaughn's kind of cool. What turns you off?
I'm certain James Lipton gave people this the questions ahead of time.
Yeah, because they're also available online anywhere and have been since like 1995.
I suppose they
are. In fact, actually, they are from Proust's questionnaire, which was written in 1886. So,
yeah, that's right. That's right. So, Yep. Let's see. What turns him off?
Is it Proust?
Probably large bodies of water.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that works for both of them.
Okay. Jesse.
Yes.
What turns you off?
Mean people.
Wealthy. What turns you off?
People who kill Aristine.
Hear that, wealthy Aristine shippers?
Nara, what turns you off?
People being flaky and unreliable.
Wealthy, what sound or noise do you love?
The sound of magic missiles hitting flash.
Okay.
The moment where the third one hits and it goes from kind of a mean thunk to more of a splash.
We hit the sweet spot there.
Vaughn's comic original recipe. What sound or noise do you love?
That sound that chemical reactions make when it's like air, that foomph, you know? It could be burning or it could be like just an expansion of some kind, but sudden gaseous interactions. That's a fun sound.
Sure. Jesse, what sound or noise do you love?
Jesse blushes and mumbles under her breath. Is that one that Hank makes.
Harper, what sound or noise do you love?
The sound of the ocean against the hull and wind in the sails.
Jesse, what sound or noise do you hate?
Laughter when it's not clear why it's happening.
That's a good one.
Ah, buddy.
Wealthy, What sound or noise do you hate?
The sound of lockdown. The sirens and the closing of the doors.
Vaughn's original. What sound or noise do you hate?
Dripping.
Elpida, what sound or noise do you hate?
That kind of silence you get right after a fight.
Oh, kiddo!
That made me sad.
Yeah, man! Of course it fucking did!
Wealthy. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck. It just does everything.
Sure. Jesse, what is your favorite curse
word? Yeah, I think fuck, yeah.
Vaughn's original, what is your favorite curse word?
Yeah, we'll go with fuck.
Fodios, what is your favorite curse word?
It used to be fuck, but I try not to say it anymore. Because small child.
Jesse.
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Like stone carving, probably.
Vaughn's cool. What profession other than your own, which I guess is now ninja, would you like to attempt?
I mean, yeah, I always wanted to be a ninja, but apart from ninja, horticulturalist?
Sure. I forgot where it was. Wealthy? What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Right now, necromancer sounds like a really good idea trying to get me back into my body.
I suddenly blanked on anyone. Oh, Frymeath. Original. What profession other than your own, rich guy, would you like to attempt?
I mean, he did also used to be a soldier.
Sure.
Yeah. So you've got soldier and rich person are off the list. let's see. Research librarian.
Yep, that tracks.
Especially librarian is like, he doesn't want to talk to people that much. Research librarian it is.
Vaughn's original. What profession would you not like to do?
Lifeguard. Seems real boring.
Wealthy. What profession would you not like to do?
I would not want to be a sailor. I did not have a good time on boats.
Jesse. What profession would you not like to do?
I think wizard would go real bad.
Cog, what profession would you not like to do?
Being the clerk at a shop.
It does kind of suck.
I just don't think I have the right temperament.
Wealthy.
Uh-huh.
When you die, what would you like to hear Jack say when you arrive at his pond?
Erisine's just that way.
Ooh. Yikes. Vaughn's original.
Uh-huh.
When you die, what would you like to hear Jack say?
Bathroom's over there.
So lots of directions. We all want directions from Jack. Got it.
Yeah.
Jesse, when you die, what would you like to hear Jack say when you arrive?
Well, first of all, she doesn't have any idea who Jack is.
Oh, we have absolutely told you that we've met Jack. I can't imagine that we would not bring that up from time to time.
Sure.
Hey, you remember when we met that god?
Sure, but my point is she's going to go, she's probably more likely to meet Xandra,
who's
her actual goddess.
Oh. I didn't realize that you were a theist.
Yeah.
No?
I am a theist.
Unpack that for us.
it just makes more sense to her that there's to like be devoted to a something higher than herself in some way, and the goddess of hearth and home feels like the like a really good one, because why not? Making everybody cozy seems like a good thing. Yeah.
Sure.
So I think that when she dies and she meets Xandra, she would like it if Xandra said, oh, good, you're here. The stew is almost ready.
Well, that's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And reaching. Oh, lucky. When you die and meet J- Jack, or whoever, what would you like them to say?
Don't worry, you don't have any responsibilities here except for the ones you want to take on, and those can go away at any time. Basically, welcome. Have a drink. Take a break.
Oh.
Fair enough. Thank you all for joining
me on
this.
I think that you should have to answer a couple of them yourself.
Okay, sure.
For Grix or Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, all right, Grix. Favorite word, crankshaft. Steamboat Willie, least favorite word, finals. Grix, what turns you on? Hot cup of coffee. Grix, what turns you off? Improper ceilings. Sealed pipes. Conduits. Steamboat Willie, what sound or noise do you love? The wind through the trees. Grix, what sound or noise do you hate? Dripping was a good one. I can't steal that. Boiling? Like boiling or whistling or hissing?
Oh, hissing.
Yeah. Like a tea kettle. It's bad. Boiling pot sounds bad. Can't turn that down. Could go wrong. Yeah. Grix, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt? Fishing. And Steamboat Willie, what profession would you not like to do? Like desk work, basic office work. And if heaven exists, or if when I die, Grix would like to hear Jack say, oh, thank goodness there's a lot that needs to be fixed around.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Cool. Done.
All right. I think that's all our structured stuff. Did anyone else have anything they want to talk about? Unpack, ask each other.
Kelly, what are you going to do when Weldroa dies?
It was when, not if.
Yeah, sorry. It just seems pretty inevitable.
Yeah, we don't seem long distant from this world.
I'm really sorry.
I'm going to have to roll a new character. And I'm not... It's going to take a while for me to get into it because, like I said, Wealthy is me. And
you don't know that it'll be an entirely new character. There's all kinds of, like, you're in a mess in a very literal sense.
Yeah, there could be things that could go on, but mostly I'll just have to roll a new character and learn to act like somebody else, figure out who that person is.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about what kind of character you'd want that to be, mechanically, if nothing else?
I've had ideas about being a rogue. I have no interest in playing it like a cleric or a druid. I'm not inclined that way. In my real life or my play life. Good on everybody who does it, but I just can't get. Well, maybe it might be fun to play a druid. Yeah, that might be kind of interesting.
You could be from the ground.
I don't know. I don't know. I want to play something. If I'm gonna roll a new character, I want to play somebody drastically different from Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that, you know, I have to remember I'm not playing Wealthy. I did that with a character I was playing in another game. I hadn't been playing Wealthy, but I wanted to remember I'm not playing a different character, and so I rolled a half orc and it was fun. That was fun to play. So yeah, I hope I don't die, but you know, whatever happens, happens.
Just roll up a masculine human barbarian.
Comes out of the grasslands.
Yeah,
can't be fun to play somebody not male, not female, a womanizer.
Oh,
those are the two options.
I mean, Wealthy is not a womanizer. Wealthy,
God, we tried so hard to get her involved with an NPC, and she was just like, "No, I'm happy just being like pathetically in love with Erisine forever and never having any connection apart from feeling sad."
Yeah,
yep. about the girlfriend that I didn't have.
Yep. Who was never mine.
I had to wonder what was going to happen to her motivation after Aracene left the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we were all kind of, I don't know, maybe worried, some of us. So I think we were all having like some kind of curiosity about how that interaction would go.
Mm.
Or lack of interaction, rather. Like, where does Wealthy's motivation mm-hmm. go when the object of her affection is no longer an object?
Well, now where does it go now that the person who killed her is dead? I've accomplished my
God,
goal.
Seriously. Well, no, like, yeah. For real, though? Like,
there's a vacuum.
I honestly have to wonder if part of the reason that Wealthy just keeps making such a big deal about how not guilty she feels is because she's now having an existential crisis about, like, well, who the fuck am I if I'm not in love with Aracene? It, like, if Aracene's dead and I've avenged her, like, what do I do with myself?
Well, there's that.
Well, and now, literally, what do you do with yourself? You gotta, like, sleep in a bucket at this point.
No, I am serving as armor for Odysseus. So, you know, that ought to be really interesting. That ought to be, you know, no, do this!
That guy's life just gets more fucked up. Already a high bar before he left the Green Day Universe.
I have a question for Ian.
Damn it, I've been had. Yeah, what's up?
The way that you... So I love Fry Meats, the many Fry Meats, because I love a fucked up rich guy who, like, has to feel feelings. What, like, now that Aracene is dead, and he had to feel his feelings, and now Aristique is dead, like, I mean... What speak on Frymeath's character development.
Probably a little bit at loose ends, for all the reasons you just stated. I think he's probably falling back on some of the instincts he had when he was a soldier, and then theoretically at least, and kind of pulling strings behind the scenes of like, well, I'm going to try to just get the arcs through this as best I can kind of stuff, and try to use his... what power he has to, like, in a more community focused way, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I also think he's spending a lot of time hanging out with Aramith in terms of just, cool, lost most of my family. I'm going to hold really tight to what I have left, even if I'm extremely bad at expressing that in any way.
I did really like that they live in the same building together. I thought that was, like, such a good touch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like it.
And also that building is the building that, Photios lives in.
Yeah, that's not sad at all.
And, like, also, has Frymeath figured out that curiosity is, you know, related to Aracene? Because curiosity also lives in that building?
I hadn't thought about that, whether he'd key in or not.
Like, does he at some point, like, run into curiosity in the hall and go, holy fuck.
My granddaughter.
Holy fuck, that's my granddaughter's eyes.
Yeah.
Or, like, does Aramith notice? Because certainly Aramith would know what, you know, curiosity's father looked like.
Yes, I did some math. It's actually a couple steps further back than that. But yeah. Yeah, no, I hadn't actually thought about either of them figuring out or, you know, twigging to the fact that curiosity, well, is related to them.
I guess it's just
I don't know what happened.
I guess it's just my fic writer's brain.
Oh, it's good. I just hadn't thought about it.
It's just building a murder board about everybody all the time.
I have a question for Jesse.
Yes, what's that?
For Aaron.
Yes. What's that?
What are the difficulties of moving from one character to another within the same story?
I find it really difficult being the note keeper and also having played these two characters. Aracene knows everyone. She knows that she knows everyone. She's very clear on, like, oh, like, this person can get what we need for this. And she has a lot of confidence that she can talk people into things, even if it's, you know, sometimes ham-fisted. Or she's just being too weird for people. Erisine's very like, oh yeah, she knows everyone. She remembers everyone. And she's very charismatic. So that is very easy for me to play because A, that's just how my mind naturally works anyway, for the most part. And I keep all of the notes, so it makes sense that I would be able to just like immediately think of whoever it is that we need to talk to. Jesse doesn't know anybody, and she certainly can't talk anybody into anything. And that is really hard for me, actually. Just to be like, ugh, Jesse wouldn't remember that because A, she wasn't there, and B, she wouldn't think of it. And every once in a while, I've had to like think of ways to bring up topics that I think would be helpful in ways that would be in character.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always been, there are times when Wealthy can take over and ask questions, and there are times when Wealthy can't because I'm not there, or I can't figure out what I'm doing. I don't feel like I'm the question asker. And then you do a really good job of having Jesse ask questions that are very Jesse-like as opposed to very Erisine-like.
Yeah, because it's so, not even that Jessie's like not curious.
Yeah, but she's,
it's just that she has no desire to ask the same kind of questions that Erisine would ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesse does not aggressively probe.
No, she's just like, oh, they didn't answer it. Okay.
That must mean it's private.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that that's a huge, it's like a huge difficulty for me in figuring out how to play Jesse versus it was so easy for me to play Erisine.
Yeah.
It's not that it's not easy for me to play Jesse. It's that like Jesse just has like such different priorities that are not the kind of priorities that I would have myself in like question asking. And so I just kind of have to like not think of those questions when at all possible.
Fair.
I mean, Erisine was around for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Jesse is not Erisine.
No.
She's so very much not Erisine. There's no, I mean, apart from sometimes when I accidentally say Erisine, I mean, you know, I'm, just because I'm hearing your voice, but the voice of Jesse is different. The character of Jesse is different, and she's a really good character. And I enjoy being around her.
I think she's a much more calm character, even though like it's not like Erisine was like actively going off all of the time. And she like understood when to like shut the fuck up a lot of the time. But she also just would be like provoking, like, actively provoking. And that is just so wildly not at all who Jesse is that. Like, it literally doesn't occur to me to be provoking, which is that is, I would say, very strange for me personally, is that like, oh, no, like, of course, Jesse isn't going to like ask an inappropriate question.
Yeah, that would be rude.
That would be rude. Or like, no, she's not going to like, you know, she's not going to like pursue a rant. I do think that. I do think that Erisine probably would have tried to get involved in the overall, you know, go find Steamboat Willie thing. But Jesse just like, I mean, I know it made the group like separate for way more episodes than I expected.
Yeah.
But like, I truly could not see like a circumstance under which Jesse would like go out in the middle of the night during lockdown to pursue a friend who it made way more sense that they would just be like, you know, stuck in one of the emergency shelters or somewhere else. And like, it just did not make any sense to her to like go, you know, get involved in a thing that was, seemed like it was probably just like a case of like, you know, he just didn't show up where he was supposed to. And there's no weird explanation for that.
Yeah. No, it seemed like the right thing for her to do, but it was kind of irritating at the moment. It did piss off Wealthy. Just like, there's an emergency happening here. I can't get...
It was fun seeing who jumped to Wealthy's call and who was just like, come back in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, whereas, like, I do think that Erisine would have been like, oh no, he's not where he said he was going to be. This sounds like a case for everyone to get involved and yeah. Be really like all up in each other's business, because Erisine would just get in everybody's business and be like, why aren't you where you said you were going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yes, things would have gone very differently if it had been Erisine instead of Jesse.
Yeah. And then Erisine was like, Erisine just had to be provoking. She just had to be provoking. And that got her killed, which is pretty much exactly, I think, a thing that she would have honestly expected to have happen.
Gonna keep pushing the limit until the limit breaks.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think, not to like psychoanalyze her too super hard, but I do think that that's what she was trying to do in every aspect of her life, was just like push the boundary until it broke. And she was just like very weird and like, extremely unhappy at like the way that her life had gone.
Yeah.
It was very hard for her to deal with all of the shit from her past.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Aramith.
Aramith got it rough.
Right now, yeah, it's pretty tough.
I mean, yeah, like it's not like Aramith was very close to Aristique, but it's still real fucked up everything that's happened.
Yeah.
This rich family can hold so much trauma, I say. hitting the top of the car holding them.
You wouldn't think Primus would be able to stuff any more deep down in his soul, and he keeps doing it.
Yeah. God, I'm like so fascinated by like Frymeath. I wish I wasn't, because I know enjoying watching rich people is not ideal.
Is that what that's been about? Just that he's got wealth?
No, I think it's about repression.
I think maybe it's what Aaron was saying, was that digging into it feels a little tabloidy, just because
yeah.
This is a high up, relatively publicly available figure, so it's not the same as if it was just like one of the random NPCs you've met.
Oh, you know what we should do? For one of the actings, we should do Succession.
Oh my god!
That would require me to have seen it, but yes. Actually, no, I just find the last time that having seen it. Clearly, lightning can strike twice, and I'm sure the plot will be as easy to divine off of Wikipedia as Waterworlds was.
I can give you an outline or something.
All right.
There's so many characters in that, though. Like,
yeah.
It might actually be really difficult to play with a few people.
Not only that, they're also... I watched like 3 episodes and I was like, I hate these people. I hate them so much.
Oh, no. I love that I hate them, because they all suck in such wildly different ways, but they all suck.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I love about that show.
Sure.
Is that you can be like so happy that bad things are happening to them all, because they're just universally terrible, and like a lot of really bad stuff happens to them that they do to each other, and you're like, yeah. Well, I don't know what you expected.
Yeah, you deserve this. You caused every part of the circumstance that led you here.
You could have fucked off and ignored them and just like lived off your trust fund and been a better person, and you chose actively not to do that at every juncture. So
yeah, god, I was trying to think of actings with the right cast size, and Mad Max Fury Road popped into my head, which
has no plot. Really
I feel like that's too close to our actual setting, man.
So I feel like none of the characters have fit any of the characters.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't matter. Yeah. It's acting.
Acting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Jesse could be any farther away from Gene Triplehorn.
Probably not.
Oh, the mom or whatever.
I'm imagining Jesse trying to play Furiosa and failing, and I think it'd be extremely funny.
What are you talking about? I think she would be a great Furiosa.
In some ways, I feel like she's not angry enough. It'd be a very different motivation or like vibe, but
no, she'd just say, I'm angry all the time. That's it.
Perfect.
Now, Wealthy, I think, would make an extremely weird, bad Furiosa.
Yeah, what would my motivation be? I mean, you know. God.
I feel like one of the Vonses would make a good Max.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The two Vonses together, maybe.
Just stacked on top of each other, wearing an oversized post-apocalyptic outfit. Switching when the cameras cut away from them.
Yep. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
If either of them were all that complete, they would be as interesting.
Sure. You gotta leave holes. You gotta leave gaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying, of course, Steamboat would be an excellent driver.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Well, we're okay.
Cool.
So, I guess that's it. So, good 200th episode, everybody. We did it.
Woo!
Yay!
There's a lot of there's a lot of podcasts that never get this far.
And we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And
we did it.
To 300, assuming that is a thing we want to do.
I want to keep playing.
I mean, me too, but I don't want to risk, like, you know, a year from now, someone's like, I hate this. But I can't get off because Ian made a dumb promise in an anniversary episode.
It might be nice.
We gotta land this thing somehow.
Yeah, it might be nice.
The arcs, at least.
Just don't fix the arcs. It'll land on itself. It'll land itself.
Everybody jump at just the right time.
That's right.
Stand on the edge and just jump off.
Bring it in fast enough over the water. Everyone bail off and try not to remember that water's like cement if you hit it hard enough.
I do think it would be nice to have an ending to this part of the story. And if we do something else,
even in the same world with similar characters overlapping.
Yeah.
I have an endpoint in mind.
Sure.
And we've done miniseries.
For sure.
So
yeah.
If we're really craving some kind of quick finality or whatever, that's an option. Just play there. We don't talk about the miniseries off.
That's fair enough. Xeno Attribute rules, and you should all go listen to it.
It does. It's great.
It's bonkers, and it features other characters that are in no way related, setting wise or person wise, to anybody that is here.
Although
and in fact, two of us aren't on that.
Nope.
And, two of us are not.
Yeah, we play distinctly differently in that space. So it doesn't feel rehashed or anything at all. It's at least I think I play a very different type of character.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So for fresh beats, I guess.
Yeah. If you haven't checked that out, check it out.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. Thanks for being with us, dear listener, for 200 episodes, and we will see you soon.
Uh-huh.
Ideally in about a week.
Yeah.
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod. On Twitter, @primeattribute. And @primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all our blazed posts. Is that really the term we're using these days? Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by, well, me, that's Adam. This week's editor was Aaron. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.